My name is Matteo, and I come from Italy originally. I came to Boston 6 years ago for doing research. Both me, Srinivas, and Mostaba, which is sitting there, we are working at Scapens Eye Research Institute. Just briefly, what we do in the institute, we can split it like in two big parts. One is what we call the wet labs, and they mostly work with cells, biology,
gene therapy,
mm-hmm. these kind of things. So mm-hmm. The other side of the building is our side, what we call the dry labs. So we deal with technology, which is what you guys like. Our department is called also Mobility and Rehabilitation Department. So our technology is targeted to mostly low vision. We also have some group doing technology for blind. And what we try to do is technology, as I said, about mobility and also reading enhancement through mostly video cameras. We translate video signals to useful information for the user. I'm an electronic engineer. Ginevra's?
Yeah.
Electronic engineer, same thing. We did a PhD in computer science. Probably all our background is, we can call it computer vision. So what I was telling you, basically process an image, take useful information from it and then reduce it to text or like voice, translate it in other ways, which might be very useful for low vision users or blind. Right now we are working on a project that wants to make a visual aid for mobility. So it's a portable device funded by the Department of Defense. Their idea is to help veterans with that, they got injuries. The big idea comes from the human brain and the way the brain processes the image and realizes that there is something going to collide with you.
What we are trying to build is a collision warning device, basically, to think of it. These are the technologies now they're trying to put in cars with, you know, ultrasound or other sensors. Our idea is to just use regular video cameras instead of any ultrasound sensors. And the idea is same. You're wearing that device and walking around, and the camera picks up the scene around you, processes the videos in real time, and gives the person who is wearing that warnings about impending collisions. It's a device that basically is trying to figure out, as the person who's wearing walking is trying to resolve two things. It's trying to resolve A, whether there is going to be a collision, and in terms of time, how far it is or how imminent it is. And it's also trying to figure out what would be the trajectory of that imminent collision. And based on that, it's going to give a warning when the collision is imminent. And how sensitive it can be or how sensitive it should be, we can program it to make it more or less sensitive. But the basic idea is that is, let's say, for example, we can chest mount it, put it in your shirt pocket or something like that, something simple, and it'll give you a warning. The warnings, though, going to be given in a very simple way. That's our idea, to try to, right now we have two vibratory bracelets. These are the fitness bands, basically. One each have wrist and left, and then they just vibrate when they think the collision might happen. It resolves the directionality based on right, left, and center. So it's very simple, three different directions. And the idea being that you are still using your cane for mobility, so we are not supplanting it, or we're just trying to augment it. And as the device will give you warning, as you're wearing it, let's say a higher up, let's say around chest height, it'll give warnings about things that the cane might not be able to pick up. So you're using the cane for, let's say, all the ground level things that you usually are. The basic feedback we got when we started was that the cane is probably one of the best vision mobility aid that is cheap and very useful, and people usually want to use it. They won't give up the habitual mobility aid. We wanted to augment it so that we don't have to replace it. We can just have the device, people can just use it, and then use it along with the cane. We wanted to spread the word. We started this as a project for people with low vision who had peripheral vision loss, mostly as a result of stroke or some kind of accident. That device was the older version of the present device. And what it did was it gave audio warnings. The background was that people did low vision tested residual vision, which they could use to scan. So all they needed was just an intimation that there might be a collision, so they would when they would hear an audio warning, they would stop and scan and try to get around the obstacle. We are trying to now make this device work for ultra low vision or blind people, and that's why we have these bracelets on each hand to give basic directionality along with collision warning. So that's our journey from starting out as a device for low vision to what we are attempting to do is try to make it useful for people with ultra low vision or total blindness. So we are here basically to get some feedback. We are trying to evaluate it right now in the lab, and we would love to hear from you about things we should try, or and if you really are interested in trying it out, we are here to spread the word.
I think the difference that I'm hearing is that this actually uses a video camera. I don't think any of the others that I'm aware of did.
See how big it is and how much, you know, wide angle of that camera is there to how much angle it can see the thing.
So this is actually meant, as far as the wide angle part, it depends on the lens that we have put in, and right now it's about 100 degrees, 90 to 100 degrees in horizontal direction and about 60 degrees in vertical direction, but then, I mean, we can change the mounting to, you know, kind of adjust it. Probably it might not go higher than that, because if you put a fisheye lens, it will be like about 180 degrees, but then that would, we haven't dealt with the processing challenges that gets issued by that, but I'm assuming that won't be a huge programming challenge to deal with that. So theoretically, we can put a fisheye lens and increase the field of view like almost 180 degrees in all directions. As far as the distance goes, that again also depends on the lens that we put in, how much it can focus. Right now this is designed for giving warning to things that are close, because it works on the idea of, you know, just giving you warning about imminent collisions. If you're just standing and there are things around you, so this is not a device that gives you an idea of a spatial map or something like that, like an ultrasound device or something. It is based on relative motion. It's processing videos to figure out patterns of motion to give warning. So it will give only warning if there is a relative motion between the camera and something. So it could be the camera is moving and the scene is stationary, or both are moving, or if camera is stationary, something is moving towards the camera. So in all three cases, it can give warning. But if everything is stationary, then it will not give warning.
So this is using something like Fitbits?
Yeah.
The wrist is a good place for something like that if it's a good strong vibration. I guess the first question I really want to ask is, and I assume that you have kind of perused the literature and gotten an idea of what has already been done in this area, because surprisingly there have been quite a number of very similar attempts, other than that I don't think they use video cameras, but there have been ones with wrist straps. Tim and I, my audio guy next to me, and I both participated in a study not long ago where they were using, I think it was ultrasound with wrist straps, but it was very inaccurate. I tried one for 6 months once that was a very sophisticated sonar device that you wore glasses that had earpieces in them, and they also had sensors that would throw out a beam, three beams actually, it had three of them. It was the sonic guide. I used it for 6 months and I got so good at it, I could walk out into the middle of my yard from my house and find the chain on my kid's swing set and walk right to it. That's the good news. The bad news was that it affected my innate ability, my spatial awareness, so much that I got lost all the time with it. It was so distracting that I found I had to give up on it. I couldn't use it. And I know other people that had the same experience with it.
I got to try one of the eyeglass mounted ones one time. Actually, it was in the glasses. It was the one with the ultrasound. And what I found was that if you pointed your head in the wrong direction or not quite the way you were facing, you were actually getting false positives. Yeah. I mean, you like walking down a sidewalk that would be totally clear. If your head is slightly tilted to the left or to the right, you get a car, you get a tree, and that type of thing. I mean, having a camera with a wide view is probably much better idea.
I mean, just yesterday, I walked into a branch sticking out from a tree along the sidewalk that was at shoulder level and nothing below it, so I had no way of knowing it was coming. I hit it with my shoulder and I just thought, boy, this would be a great thing to have a collision avoidance device that would guard against this sort of thing.
Well, what it does is the camera will process the videos. It'll try to find out the motion in the videos that it processes, and based on analyzing the patterns of motion it got in the videos, it'll try to figure out whether there will be a collision. There's a little bit of geometry involved, is that just trying to figure out the trajectory of the camera motion and the imminent collision, the object.
Does it make a noise as well?
It has an audio warning capability, but right now we just have it communicate with these silent wristbands. So one of the comments that we got that when people used it around, it would beep and then they found it kind of annoying. And one of the feedback we got was that it would be nice if it was something silent and less conspicuous. The less conspicuous part is that these wristbands are Fitbit kind of bands. Nowadays everyone's wearing it, so it's pretty less conspicuous and they're very silent, so you won't hear. It's only the person who is wearing it will feel it. It's not exactly, I think it's almost real time. This is processing images at around 15 frames per second, which means about 60 to 70 milliseconds. And the warning can be given in like I think the delay would be around 100 to 150 milliseconds. The camera is on the chest. It's not on the wrist. Only the wristband.
That's the best thing. That's the best.
So it has a round, the camera has a lens that's about the size of a knob on a dresser drawer or something like that.
Well, this is, as I said, this is a prototype, not the final product. Final product will be much smaller and much lighter. The interpretation right now is just three things: left, center, right. So when the left one is very strong, the collision is coming from the left. When the right hits on the right. When both are almost of the same strength or both are simultaneous, it's
in the middle. Okay. Yeah. So is it kind of intuitive?
So there's nothing for like above you.
Well, it includes everything above and below. It's about 60 degrees, and down,
We are right now trying it indoor in an obstacle course.
Okay.
But we did try it mounted in cars with the outdoor view, so mounted on a dashboard, and see if it was. The same algorithm used for also detecting cars. We had to change a little bit the parameters for the camera and the light because that affects it, the algorithm, of course.
The light affects the camera?
Well, if there's no light, if there's like some glare, this kind of thing that washes out the camera, that's bad.
This is a circuit board that a lot of you looked at and the camera is attached to it. We can technically remove the camera from the board and just have the small camera attached onto the collar or the pin. Then you can just put it in your pocket and it will be like a slightly larger than a cell phone. Then the bracelets will be on your hands, and then that will be pretty much the most compact configuration. Let's be very clear about the limitations of this device, right? I mean, it's my personal view on technology like this is that to get a perfect device, it has to be fusion of multiple sensors, because each sensor has its own limitations, and camera has a big limitation and the algorithm has a big limitation that it doesn't pick up textureless objects very well. So if it's like a very clear wall with no texture on it, it will have difficult time, especially in lower light, it will have a little bit difficult time picking it up and giving a warning. Our hope is that augmenting it with cane will kind of limit a lot of the limitations that comes from these kind of situations. But we are working still on this incredibly difficult problem, which is very well known in the area of computer vision, is about how to pick up textureless objects, how to process them, how to make sense of them. Because without any texture, we don't have any information to process. The biggest issue, I think, was the aesthetics and the compactness that has become like a lot better over the years. We are able to package a lot more processing power in smaller sizes. So the chip that it's using is not too different from your cell phone chip. The main vibrating part is just a small metallic chip that can be fitted into any band that goes around. So as long as we have like a good usable band, I think that's just a matter of, you know, finding the right thing. So
what about if I were standing in line in a bank and people in front of me and I want to know when they move so that I can move forward, and yet I don't want to walk into them? Would it work for something like that?
So the person in front of you is moving forward.
Or let's say they're standing still. Maybe they're close to me and I don't realize it. As soon as I start to move, would it alert me that they're
because
I'm moving?
Actually.
Yeah.
So let's try this, okay? I'm going to hand over to you the vibrating bits. You can hold them. This is the left and this is the right. Mm-hmm. And now there's Mateo standing right in front of me.
Oh, yeah, I feel it.
Yeah. So now I'm still. I'm not moving.
And I'm moving the device towards okay. there, and then I hope you're feeling...
I am. I felt it first on the right, and then dead center, and yeah. then on the right again.
Yeah, so okay. that, yeah, I'm not very steady with my hands.
I'm just actually holding them in both hands.
Yeah, and Srinivas is moving the device around.
So when you said you felt a dead center, was that you felt the vibration in the center of the band?
No, I no. felt the intensity was the same in both hands.
The way it works is that it's the intensity. So if the left is vibrating a lot more or exclusively, then the imminent collision is from the left.
Can you try to make it happen so that I should feel it more in one hand, but a little bit in both?
Okay, let's see if it works then.
You got it in both?
Feeling in both, yeah. Okay, now left.
Left, okay, because I'm, so the device right now is still and I'm approaching the camera from mm-hmm. the left.
Okay.
So now I'll go to the right side.
Now, I got it stronger in the right than the left, but I felt it on both.
On yeah,
both?
So
yeah,
it's...
At the end I was kind of all yeah. over in the scene,
yeah.
so probably that's when you got that.
It's probably dead center?
Well, it's kind of hard to tell.
Okay.
Now it's on the left, now right, left, right, left.
Okay, yeah. So when that happens, it means like something is all over the scene,
yeah.
so that's kind of head-on collision.
So
it's not always at the same time. It might be just
yeah.
alternated. But
let me know if you feel anything now.
I do. I feel the left.
How about now?
No.
Because I'm retreating, or I'm standing still.
Nothing.
Nothing's moving.
Mm-hmm. No. Nope.
So which is good. And I'm
now.
Yeah, I'm moving.
I got one. Now it's. I feel it left.
Yeah. No, I'm very close.
Both.
Yeah.
Because that's
yeah.
right on.
I almost wonder if it's intermittent. I'm wondering if it would be better if it were solid, like once it started vibrating. You know, if it could vibrate and the intensity would change, but the vibration would continue solid, you know, while it was detecting something rather than intermittent.
Something is close to you but moving a lot slower, then it would give the
Do
warning.
Do you get a different vibration when that happens?
Not yet, no. Right now, it's just basically trying to tell you when the collision, let's say, is basically about 3 seconds away or 2 seconds away, you know, based on the current motion. We can tune this for your regular walking speed, actually, so it takes in, it can measure walking speed. If you're walking, it will take that into consideration and try to tune itself and try to figure out, okay, based on this walking speed and the motion that it's processing, what should be the optimum time at which it should give warning? And that's what we're trying to compute in the device.
Fire hydrant, a pole, and maybe a meter. Let's say they were like in the middle, you know, like one was to your left, one was to the right, one was to the center.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say they were all the same distance.
And depending upon which way you're heading, let's say if you're heading directly towards the meter, it will give warning like it's head on.
But it would change depending on how you were angled or how
yes.
you were positioned.
Yes, yes. Yes, it can change. So basically,
it's sort of a typical sidewalk kind of scenario,
mm-hmm,
right
mm-hmm.
by the street.
Mm-hmm. In the scenario that you presented, there are three things, and you are walking straight towards the meter, for example. It will pick up the meter first, just because it's right in the direction where you are heading. Because relative judgment-wise, collision judgment-wise, that is the highest risk of collision from the perspective of the camera. Then comes another question. Okay, now you're walking in a sidewalk now, but then the meter is not right in the center, it's just a little bit off to either right or left, but the right in front, the way is clear, but you're walking, and since your body probably is about 2 feet, 3 feet wide, there is a good chance that you might brush against it or actually hit your shoulder. We can tune how big the envelope of detection should be in this device, where it will then pick up that object and give you warning. Let's say it's on the left, it will tell you vibrating the left wristband. So that's the idea. And we are doing experiments in our lab right now to kind of verify this. And we are getting some data about, you know, just having people. We don't have a lot of blind people, but we have people with normally sight. We blindfold them and just ask them to walk towards exactly like an obstacle that you mentioned. And we kind of change the eccentricity of that and try to see the probability of collision warning for like multiple trials. And the data suggests that right now we can adjust based on a tunable parameter that's in the algorithm that can increase the envelope of collision.
I could see another value in this in that it could help you to find something that you know is there, but you can't exactly find out where it is. You could actually make it start vibrating, and as you get closer to the object you're attempting to find, it would get louder or harder, and you would find the pole. Or like, let's say you're trying to find the push button to cross the street. It's on a pole, and you know it is, but you don't know exactly where it is. Couldn't a device like this help you pinpoint it?
Well, it's actually a different technical problem completely, because what it's trying to do actually is a different problem. It's trying to actually generalize all the specific scenarios to generalize the collision aspect of it, whereas what you are suggesting, it would be like trying to understand specific objects. But I think there are a lot of apps these days that do these kind of things. I don't know if you have heard about OrCam.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. OrCam, okay. Yes. Yeah. And then I think Google came up with goggles or some kind of app that does this kind of thing. But so the object detection field is getting a lot of attention these days because of all the AI stuff that's going on. And I'm pretty sure that we will soon have an app and that can be really good in at least in our daily life scenarios to detect things and find things. So we are trying to focus on more on a mobility navigation aspect. So our problem solving is more towards, you know, trying to generalize the patterns instead of specific.
I just take into consideration things that don't have contrast. I know you said things that were like clear, like someone had asked about glass and snow. How does this take into consideration? Say you have like a really dark brown pole, like the electrical poles, and you know it's like the background is against a bunch of trees.
Yeah, that's a very good question. We are not sure, I cannot tell you 100% how it will do, because we haven't fully tested it in such scenarios. So this was actually meant for indoor use. Well, not completely indoor, but we haven't actually taken it and tried to see how it does in a crowded area. But I think they've taken it out in a sidewalk, but not in like a really crowded area. Or crowded
so it probably worked really well in a mall.
We don't know that.
How can we help this group? And they're going to be seeking some volunteers who would first go to their lab and learn a little bit about how to use this device as they continue to develop it. And of course, it will evolve. So they'll be learning and then relearning. But they would spend some time with it in the lab, and then they would take the device home for maybe a couple of months or longer even. And it would gather data while they're using it, and they would also give feedback to the researchers. So
how long would it take in the lab?
2 hours.
2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, not long.
And this is strictly voluntary. There may be a possibility of paying for travel, but not for the actual lab work time that you spend. I'll send out a note on the email list for ViBug and ask for people to contact me. And if you're here today, you don't have to wait for my note. Just email me and let me know that you are interested in this.
How many volunteers are you looking for?
We are looking at around 10 to 15 right now. I mean, it could be more.
How long of the commitment are you asking for?
3 months.
Yeah. What we can do is like email the details and just confirm all the requirements and the inclusion criteria.
It sounds like it doesn't matter if you're blind or low vision or if one eye is totally different than the other. Is that true to participate?
We are including mostly all low vision and blind. This only matters for, you know, data analysis and for the presentation. As far as the study is concerned, I think we can have mostly blind and low vision both in the study. So low vision is mostly peripheral vision loss, so that is one thing. Where, let's say, like people with RP or some other people with stroke or accident, they lose sight of one half of their visual field.
You know, I work with deaf-blind folks, and they are particularly vulnerable to bumping into things, because when you can't hear, even if you can't hear in one ear, you lose your, I guess you would call it, depth perception of hearing. You don't always have the ability to be spatially aware of things like a blind person is. Something like this could be particularly suitable for people who also have hearing issues. Okay, so I want to thank our guest very much, Mateo, and I won't try to say the other. But we're happy that you're with us, and we will expect an email from you at some point, and we'll make sure to share it with our group.
Thank you.